Log Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and tonight we're looking at a thrilling new year, some great thriller novels, and chatting with two amazingly talented thriller authors who are with me, Allison Brennan and Karen Dion. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Thank you for having us.
Now, for our listeners, you can join the live chat by logging in at blogtalkradio.com/circle7. You can call in if you'd like to do that. It's 646-200-4071. About an hour after the show, you can download the podcast. You can embed it in your site. You can share it, whatever you'd like to do. And then you can catch the highlights and the behind the scenes of the podcast on our website at readersentertainment.tv/radio. I'll make sure that anything that we talk about, websites, all of that, that we put some links up there for you on that site as well. So be sure to stop by there. And, of course, you can leave some comments, and I'll make sure that that those comments get to the right person and that your any questions get answered. Now, it's been a thrilling year, to be sure. 2010, we saw some great movies. I saw Shutter Island and Green Zone. I had not seen Salt, but I plan on it. There was Inception. And so lots of movies that came out, and lots of really great books out this year. Have A Dark Matter, Split Image, Worst Case, and, of course, our guests' 2010 books, Boiling Point by Karen Dion, which just came out, I believe, on the 28th, and Love Me to Death by Allison Brennan also just came out. I think both books came out on the 28th, so that's perfect timing. Allison, I want to start with you. You just had Love Me to Death released on the 28th of this month, and then you have Kiss Me, Kill Me coming out in February, and then I see that you also have two other 2010 releases, Original Sin, which is part of the Seven Deadly Sin series, and Carnal Sin, which came out this summer. You're an amazing writer. You're a New York Times bestseller. You have a very loyal fan base. I know because I stalk you on Facebook. your books always do great. Is there some secret formula to life that you can do so much and so well?
Oh, I wish there was a secret formula. I wish I could clone myself or have 6 more hours in the day. And it's really debatable whether I do anything particularly well. I think the key to my sanity, except a lot of people don't think I'm sane, but the key to just sort of keeping everything together is I try not to sweat the small stuff. You know, I really try not to let things like a messy house, get to me. I try not to stress about whether or not I'm cooking an elaborate dinner every night. In fact, I have taught or am teaching my kids to cook because, first of all, there's no surprise that all my heroes know how to cook because my husband doesn't. And so all my heroes know how to cook, so my sons are learning how to cook. And they're still a little young for it now, but they're working on it. So I'm trying to teach the kids to cook, to be a little bit, you know, pick up a little bit of the slack. You know, 100 years ago, kids did so much more than they do today, and then you ask them to pick up their room and you'd think that they were being tortured. So it's little things like that, and I just really try hard not to worry about just the little things that I think a lot of people stress over, and I try just worry about the big stuff that really matters, like, you know, going to my kids' games, and because I have 5 kids, and so 4 of them are in sports, and, you know, things like that, and try to do the big things and then not worry if I, you know, miss one little thing or something.
So not too hard on yourself. Is that kind of your secret?
No, I'm really hard on myself.
Uh-oh.
But I guess I don't dwell on the past. If I mess something up, I'll say, okay, I'm not going to mess that up again in the future. So I try not to stress over too much stuff that I can't fix.
See, that sounds very balanced.
I try.
Yeah, you have a pretty good balance because, well, you know what I know what I see, you know, because I see you at the conventions and we chat, and I do follow you on Facebook, and I know when your books are coming out, so I know that you're a very busy person. You're writing and you're promoting, but you know, we have this conversation, and what I hear is, well, you know, I'm doing this with my family, and I'm teaching the kids to cook, and I'm going to my kids. I mean, you really do sound very balanced. You know, you have all this stuff going on with this successful career, but, you know, obviously, you know, when you're talking about the things important to you, the first thing you're talking about is your family. So you it just seems like that you really have a good grasp on how to balance yourself.
I try. I also think the important thing is to keep your writing time sacred. And so when it's your writing time, that's your writing time. And you don't do things like go out to lunch with friends and, you know, drop everything and go to the movie. You really have to be diligent. I mean, I'm a professional writer, so my writing time is my working hours, and the kids understand that. So, like, this week it's Christmas break. They're all home, but they knew that I needed to put in at least 4 hours every day, which is less than I normally do, but, you know, just because it's Christmas doesn't mean I'm going to take some time off. So they do understand that, okay, it's mom's writing time. Even though we're home having fun, we got to leave her alone.
You know what, though? Really, I think that's, first of all, it's hard to be self-disciplined. And anybody who works from home knows it's not easy. It sounds like it should be easy. Oh, you can, you know, stop and do whatever you want to because you're home. But that's actually not true. And so you're really setting this great example for your kids by showing that self-discipline. You know, I have to do the 4 hours, even though everybody else is out having a great time. This is my job.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope they learn from it and they don't, like, go tell their psychotherapist 10 years from now, my mother ruined me.
Now, for our listeners who would like to check out Allison's site while we're chatting and find out more about her and her books, you can go to www.allisonbrennan.com. Let me just spell that out. It's allisonbrennan.com. Allison, let's look back on 2010 first, and then we'll look into the future and talk about your upcoming 2011 books. Tell us a little bit about the Seven Deadly Sins series.
Basically, the Seven Deadly Sins launched with Original Sin in February, and the premise is an evil occult bent on the key to eternal youth and beauty release the seven deadly sins from hell, and they're incarnate demons with an agenda. The demons work by, if we are all subject to, you know, we all have flaws, we all have issues, you know, like a sin that we grapple with, whether it's, you know, being greedy or being selfish or eating too much or being envious of others. But we usually deal with that ourselves. You know, we can balance that in our lives. Well, the demons will take whatever we have a natural problem with, and they basically strip away our conscience, so we act to deadly results on that. So if you're envious, you have no longer have a conscience. You now will go steal what you want or kill because you're jealous of somebody or whatever. So the demons affect that people that in that way. But it's really a very supernatural thriller in the sense that it's real-world grounded. It's based in modern-day, you know, United States. The first book takes place in a fictitious town. The second book, Carnal Sin, takes place in Los Angeles. So everything except the demons is what you're going to know, what, you know, readers would be expected to see, you know, in their real life. And then I just sort of twisted it because I love real-world supernatural, like The Stand by Stephen King, one of my all-time favorite books.
Mine too.
One of the very
that.
Few books I've read twice. And, you know, it's basically it's the real world, but 99% of the population is dead because of a virus. I mean, I love stories like that. And so, in a way, that's kind of what I was thinking. Okay, the world is as we know it, but there are seven deadly sins out there seeking to basically destroy you. And if you, so you, it's just it's been a lot of fun writing them. I've really enjoyed it.
Now, Love Me to Death just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that book.
Love Me to Death is a romantic thriller. I've written 12 romantic thrillers, and so this is number 13. And it launches a new series. Lucy Kincaid was a secondary character in a previous trilogy that I had written, and now she gets her own series. She volunteers for a victim rights group while she's waiting to hear if she's been accepted into the FBI. And her job is to lure sex offenders into the hands of the law. Basically, paroled sex offenders have the highest recidivism rate of all, you know, convicts. Usually, you know, they'll go out and they'll commit their crimes again. And so she's trying to get them to violate their parole. But then when the sex offenders turn up dead, the FBI takes a whole new interest in Lucy.
Oh.
So it's been a fabulous book to write.
Oh, nice twist. Now we're going to look into the future a little bit. 2011, Kiss Me, Kill Me comes out February 22nd. What's that book about?
Lucy, in the first book, she meets Sean Rogan, who is her brother Patrick's partner. They're a private investigator security experts. And in the second book, you know, it's a romantic thriller, so they develop a relationship, but it's going to be a relationship that develops over the course of the series as opposed to being completely resolved in the first book, like traditional romantic suspense might be. So it follows her through the whole series, and she and Sean track a runaway teen to New York City and find themselves in the middle of the investigation for the Cinderella Strangler, who targets young women at underground parties in New York City. And that was another very interesting book to write. I got in contact with a photojournalist in New York who takes pictures of abandoned buildings and knows everything about these abandoned buildings and the parties and stuff, and he was one of the most interesting people I've corresponded with.
Interesting. Now, what else do you have coming out in 2011?
Well, I'm really kind of excited. I have an exclusive electronic novella, a short story, 25,000 words. Most of my books are over 100,000 words. So this is being published by Ballantine. It's a mystery with Lucy, but it takes place before Love Me to Death. It comes out at the end of January called Love is Murder, and it's going to be released. Basically, all e-tailers will be selling it for any e-reader or PDF for your computer. So that is fun, and it takes place outside Lake Tahoe during a blizzard. And then I have the third Lucy book comes out in September, and it's called If I Should Die.
Oh, and that comes out in September, you said?
Yeah. In fact, that's what I'm writing right now.
Now, is it going to be just the three books? Is this going to be ongoing?
I hope it's ongoing because I have lots of ideas for her.
Oh, great.
But it's at least three books with her and Sean, and then I'm building up a cast of secondary characters, some from my previous books and some that are going to be new, like an FBI agent that's going to be her partner and things like that. So I'm going to develop a whole little world.
That sounds like you really love this heroine.
I love her, and I love Sean. Sean is the first hero that I didn't actually have to, you know, shake him to let me figure out who he was. He basically walked on the page and completely sort of took over, and I knew exactly who he was, and he's very interesting.
Nice. What do you love about the heroine?
I like that she's smart. I like that she's had a tragic past in many ways. Even though she was raised in a normal family, she had she'd been kidnapped on her high school graduation, and she's had to deal with a whole bunch of stuff since then. But I like the fact that she doesn't consider herself a victim, even though she does have some things that she still has to work through. I like that she's strong. I like that she wants to help others. I like that she's full of compassion. And mostly that she's not, you know, she's never going to act like a victim. She's always going to, even when it's hard, she's going to do the right thing.
I love heroines like that, the ones who can overcome obstacles and be stronger for it. Those are very compelling characters for me. Now, Allison, don't go anywhere. I want to come back to you in just a moment to find out more about what events you're going to be doing, and you could tell us some advice for some aspiring writers or new writers. But right now, I'm going to switch over, talk to Karen, who also just had a book come out. Hello, Karen. How are you?
Hi, Sheila. I'm great.
Now, Karen, you're busy as well. I see you're writing, you're promoting, you're working with ITW, International Thriller Writers Organization. You're the co-founder of Backspace. You organized the Backspace Writers Conference in New York. See, I'm wondering where you and Allison are getting your clones made. I know Allison mentioned clones. I think you guys, I don't know how to keep up with you. Tell us about Boiling Point.
Well, Boiling Point, first off about clones, I should say clones are very expensive, so I've only got three, but at the end of the show, I'll give you the name of the manufacturer, and then you can look into that.
Because I need it. I really do.
Yeah, don't we all? Okay, well, Boiling Point is my second thriller. It's, you could call it a science thriller, or you could call it an environmental thriller, because it has a strong environmental theme. This story takes place at Chaitén Volcano in northern Patagonia, Chile. And the topic at the heart of the story is geoengineering. Geoengineering is something that scientists are actually talking about. It's deliberately and permanently altering the planet to counteract the effects of global warming. One of the solutions that has been proposed to cool the planet is to seed the atmosphere with sulfur dioxide particles. This is what a volcano naturally does, and most people know that volcanoes have a natural cooling effect. Remember when Mount Pinatubo went off in the Philippines many years ago? The next year was called the year without a summer because the particulates in the air blocked the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth and cooled the Earth. Well, in my story, it isn't just a scientist talking about doing this. One scientist takes it upon himself to actually put a geoengineering solution into effect in order to set the Earth on a path from which there is really no turning back. Boiling Point has a lot of action, including a 40-page climax that takes place in the caldera of an erupting volcano. But it's a lot more than just a big science thriller. It's also a very intimate story. It only has six characters, and four of the six are involved in love stories, so there's two love story subplots. And by the end of the book, I've put all of the characters in a situation where they are forced to choose between what they believe in and someone they care about. So it has a lot of strong moral themes to the story, as well as a lot of action.
Sounds very layered.
Yeah, I think it is.
And
I like that about a thriller. You know, I like a thriller that has a lot of action, but I like to feel like I've read something that has some meaning to it as well.
Yeah, and then it sounds like you've got some action, and you've got, you've got a little bit of romance going on. Yeah, I love this. That sounds really, it's right up my alley.
Yeah, there's a little bit of mystery in it, too, because two of the characters are microbiologists, and they're on a field assignment in northern Patagonia, Chile, and they discover what looks like a case of illegal dumping. And in the course of investigating that, then their lives are basically forever changed when the Chaitén volcano unexpectedly erupts. And another thing that I think is interesting about the book is there is such a thing as Chaitén Volcano. The reason I set the novel there and chose that for the location is a year or so before I started writing the novel, I saw an amazing picture of the eruption that was being passed around on the Internet, just a massive cloud. It was dark. It was the night sky. The cloud, the plume from the volcano was lit from below, so there's like orange and purple. There's lightning going through the cloud. It was just so powerful and so awe-inspiring. I said, well, that's where I'm going to set the book. And because my publisher bought the book before I wrote it, I was actually able to travel to Chaitén Volcano in northern Patagonia, Chile, to do on-site research, which was a completely amazing trip. At the time that I went there, it was a year after the initial eruption, but the volcano has never stopped erupting, and so the Chilean government considers the volcano on red alert. Even now, it's been a year since my trip, and the volcano is still erupting. I found an English-speaking guide, and he arranged lodging for me in the town at the base of the volcano, even though this town was ruined in the eruption, and it's evacuated, and there was no electricity and no running water. There were still about 50 people living in the town. And so a friend of his rented cabins, and he arranged lodging for me. And then he also took me to within 1 mile of the volcano. So I saw Chaitén Volcano steam vents, and I heard explosive noises coming from the caldera, and I felt a small earthquake. I actually would have loved to have gone closer to the volcano, but the topography of the area is such that if you're going to see the volcano, you have to be a little ways away. So 1 mile is all the closer I could get.
How exciting is that? That's an adventure by itself.
It really was. And, of course, a lot of my firsthand observations and experiences went into the book. I was also able to interview my guide extensively, and he was there the day that the volcano first erupted, which is when the story takes place. So I was able to put a lot of that into the book as well. So I'm really pleased with the level of accuracy that I was able to achieve.
You know, for our listeners, you can find out more about Karen and about her books at www.karen-dionne.com. Don't forget the dash in there, and I'll make sure to put that up. Now, you have more information about that trip up on your website, right?
I do. I have photos and some short video clips, too, of the volcano and the destruction of the town. So I think it's very interesting.
Now, Karen, your book, Freezing Point, has been published internationally. You were nominated for Best First Mystery in 2008. Now, as a successful professional writer, how do you organize your time between, it goes back to what Allison and I were talking about balance, between writing, promoting, between your other businesses that you're doing, your volunteering, you know, and hopefully somewhere in there you have a personal life. How do you organize that?
Well, I think Allison really nailed it. You know, it's a matter of prioritizing. Everybody does or focuses on the things that are important to them. Sometimes I do think that maybe I've overextended myself with writing-related activities instead of concentrating just on my writing. I certainly would have written more books and maybe published more books by now if I had, but no one's putting a gun to my head. And my involvement with both Backspace and the International Thriller Writers is productive and it's rewarding, and a lot of opportunities have come my way as a result. But even so, there are days when I'm so busy with other things, I don't get any writing done at all. I think I have to take a lesson from Allison and have some
synchronicity.
Set aside writing time.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Or you need one more clone.
There's an idea.
You know what? So we're talking a little bit about Backspace and ITW. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those two things?
Sure. ITW stands for the International Thriller Writers, and that's a worldwide association of thriller writers. What makes it unique, I think, is many other large writers' organizations are U.S.-based. You've got Mystery Writers of America or Horror Writers of America or Romance Writers of America. But ITW is international, and at present, we have around 1,400 members in 22 countries. Backspace is a little different in that it's not an association of published writers, and it's not genre-based. Backspace's motto is Writers Helping Writers, and that's the principle on which we were founded. 6 years ago, Backspace was an online discussion forum, and that's still at the heart of what Backspace is and does. But we've grown in that time from 100 members to over 1,400 members in a dozen countries. About a third of the members of Backspace have agents or are published, and those of us who've been around during those 6 years have watched maybe two dozen become New York Times bestsellers. What's really cool is that many of these very accomplished authors still participate at the discussion forums. So there's just a wealth of talent and experience within the group. And then, of course, we also have expanded our online activities into putting on writers' conferences. And next up is our 2011 Backspace Conference. That's May 26th to 28th in New York City.
That's a lot. Well, you know, I actually get I've been following Backspace for, I don't even know how many years. How long has Backspace been around?
Since 2004, so going on 7 years now.
Yeah, because I know at least by 2006 I had signed up with Backspace.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've been around a long time doing a lot of stuff. I'm going to switch gears for a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about readers and thriller novels. Tell me, what do you think appeals most to readers when it comes to thriller novels?
I think it's the pace of thrillers. Once a reader gets hooked on that fast pace in thrillers, a slower paced story just has to be really gripping and involving in order to hold their interest. For me, it's that whole thing about not knowing what's going to happen next that keeps me reading thrillers.
And tell me, what do you have coming up in 2011?
I'm actually working on two projects right now. I have a proposal for a third point book with my editor, and I'm finishing up the first book in a young adult science thriller trilogy that my agent is going to begin shopping soon. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, you have something really new then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic. I had no idea. You know,
oh, yeah. Well, that's not
too
posted on my website.
Yeah, I guess I need to go check out the website more. Need to visit the website.
Yeah,
now,
I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's something that's entirely new for me. I'm writing in first-person present tense, which I've never done before, and writing in the teenage young adult voice is also a lot of fun. So I'm really enjoying, and of course, I hope the books find a home.
I love it. Tell me something. How important is it to get out there and promote or volunteer? Just how important is it to get out there and get yourself seen?
I'm a firm believer in volunteering, and I really do think the more you give, the more you get. For instance, like with ITW, I wanted to be in the thick middle of ITW ever since I first heard about the organization. And the thing is, I have a lot of ideas about how things could or should be done, and so by getting involved, I'm able to see them become a reality. For instance, I'm website chair, so I recently redesigned ITW's websites. And one of the goals that I had in mind when I did that was to use the website to give our mid-list members a greater visibility. And the other cool thing that I think is really neat about ITW is that you don't have to be a brand name to get involved. When I first expressed an interest in serving on the board of directors, I didn't even have a contract for my second novel. And I mentioned that to Steve Barry, who was co-president at the time, thinking that that would disqualify me. But he said, it doesn't matter. You're a member. And so last summer at Thriller Fest, as a board nominee, I was invited to sit in on the board meeting. And, I mean, talk about a pinch-me moment. There's me, a brand-new baby author with one book published in mass-market paperback, and I'm sitting at a table with Douglas Preston and David Morrell and Gail Lins and Steve Barry, and, you know, listening to them discuss the organization's needs and tossing in my two cents. It's just amazing.
Well, it looks like we're getting close to the end of the program. I do want to find out quickly, Karen, what events are you going to be attending? Where can people find you in 2011?
I'm going to be at Love is Murder in Chicago, and of course my Backspace, that's February, my Backspace conference in May, and I'll be at Thriller Fest in July. That's a have to be there moment,
right,
for me.
Allison, can you tell us what events are you going to be attending this coming year?
I'll be at the RT Book Lovers convention in April, the RWA in the end of June, and Thriller Fest in July. And BoucherCon is 50-50 right now. Fall is really hard because of the kids. They, I have four kids in fall sports, so I try not to travel in the fall. But I might go to BoucherCon this year.
Now, I've got, it's telling me I only have about a minute and a half left, and I actually have other questions. I think what I would love to do, if you guys are up for it, we're all three of us are going to be at Thriller Fest in 2011, and I'm going to be podcasting, and I would love to have you both join me, and we'll do another live show and talk about your influences and who you're reading and who inspires you. So if I can convince you to join me, then we can all get together at Thriller Fest. And let's do this again.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. And if I'm too busy, I'll send one of the clones.
All right, yeah. And I won't know the difference, right?
That's right.
Well, thank you both, ladies. I'm so so grateful that you took the time to join us. I appreciate it, and we'll see you at Thriller Fest.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. The show will be downloadable within an hour. If you'd like to download it, you can get it here at Blog Talk or over on iTunes or any other audio social sites. And be sure to stop by our blog where you can find additional information about our guests tomorrow. And please feel free to share the links or leave a comment. That's at readersentertainment.tv/show. I'm your host, Sheila English, and happy reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.